Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Michael Dresser Show. There's no topic this program is afraid to address or investigate, whether it be social, political, or current events, including some very sensitive cultural issues of today. The views expressed by the host, guest, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views of this station. Now, step into the realm of clarity with your host, Michael Dresser.
Welcome back. I'm Michael. You're listening to the Michael Dresser Show. Brad Rennie with us. He's the author of Reach Your Peak, Become the CEO of Your Success. He's an author, a motivational speaker, and a sales leadership management trainer. He's the CEO and founder of Personal Performance Partnership and has almost 30 years' experience in creating and developing high-performance teams in a variety of industries. And let us say, Brad, welcome to the show.
Michael, thanks for having me. Great to be on the show.
Oh, and thank you so much for being here. You know, the word team is so critically important. Where was it for you when you started 30 years ago, you realized that that combination of minds really what it really has what it takes to make a business successful?
Well, actually, I'd have to go back way beyond that. It actually started for me. I grew up as a kid that played every sport, and really, I guess where it really came to fruition for me, I was good at football, but I was much better at basketball, and that whole team aspect of being able to play as, you know, five people as one. I had some really great coaches growing up, and all of them were instrumental in me understanding that there's you know, each person brings a different skill set. Some are tall, in this case, basketball. Some are tall, some are quick, some can dribble, some can pass. If you can all do it together and learn from each other, it can be very, you know, very much something that no matter how good the opponent is, you can compete on any level in any place. And that really kind of worked its way into my psyche growing up in every area where I was in, where there was a team philosophy in terms of, we've got this, we've got a sales group, or we've got a sales division, or we've got a management team, or whatever. I tried to look at that as an opportunity to take the best talents of each person that was involved, and bring them to the surface, so we could all share in that, you know, that I guess it's almost like a euphoria, Michael, of everybody doing their best, and then you look around and go, wow, we really succeeded, as opposed to here are the corporate goals, keep climbing the ladder till we get there. If you can pull out of yourself and those around you really what makes you tick, it becomes a pretty easy process to achieve the goals that you've got in front of you.
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing that's very important is commonality of definition. It's everybody on, quote unquote, the same team moving in the same direction to get what they want accomplished.
Yeah, agreed. And I think that actually begins with you know, kind of what I do now. Is one of the things that I'll sit and do a client need analysis with anyone that I actually work with. And what I want to find out is, what are those goals and objectives that you're trying to establish or grow? What are the problems? What is that, you know, pain that you're feeling? And what do you want to do in the short term? What do you want to do in the long term? And are you working on a 1-year plan, 3-year, 5-year? What's the continuum? And then what results do you want out of what they were trying to accomplish here? And then try to, you know, break that down into, then you get down almost into the molecular level of, okay, tell me about the strengths and weaknesses of each person. So it's almost doing a SWOT with the entire team and then an individual SWOT with each person to figure out, you know, where are the levers, where are the hot buttons, what can I pull out of this person to get them to really go to that next level?
Yeah, and also, too, and I'll say it in a different way, it's defining your destination, because if you don't know where you're going, Brett, you're never going to get there.
Absolutely. I often tell people that, you know, I could say, hey, drive to Montana. And if you didn't know where you were going, or you had no idea about, you know, geography or a map or, you know, directions, you can end up in Canada or Cuba. I mean, you have really no sense of worth or direction or whatever. What you need is someone who's either been there before and can guide you, a GPS, electronic version of that, or an actual map that can literally show you, you know, the different roads, the pitfalls, the challenges. And that's really what a good leader or somebody who goes in and sits down to help leadership grow their business does, is let's build this road. Where do you want to go? And then we can figure out if, and then specifically trying to put in those mile markers. So if you want to be, you know, X distance in 12 months and we're 3 months in, are we 25% there? Are we ahead? Are we behind? If we're behind, what kind of changes do we need to make? If we're ahead, should we move the timeline up or just know that there may be some pitfalls as we get to 50% and 75%? But being able to check yourself along the way, just like driving a vehicle, you're going 1,200 miles, you can get 400 miles on a tank. Somewhere in there, you got to find a place to get gas before you run out, and you start to gauge where that is. The same thing happens with teams. You want to keep them on track. You want to keep those goals in front of them, and you want to make sure that you pull over and take that rest stop and do the reassessment and go, are we where we need to be? Are we learning? Are we growing? Is it getting better? Maybe there's a person involved in this that has either, moved to the top and he's going to be a leader within the team, or maybe there's a problem that needs to be removed. Maybe we figured out we can't fix this person and they just don't want to be here. Maybe that's an issue that needs to be addressed. But either way, you've got to check those checkpoints along the way.
Oh, sure. And in a group, too, I know you touch on this, it's personal achievement. How do you get your personal achievement when everybody's moving fundamentally in a particular direction?
Well, again, I think it goes back to each person is specifically motivated by something unique. Some people are money motivated. Some are achievement oriented. Some want, they really want the pat on the back and the recognition in front of their peers. So there's some people who want to be left alone. Show me what to do. Let me do it. And there are other people that want the constant feedback and want to call you. And I've got people that I've worked with that, a couple of years ago even, that will still email me occasionally and say, what do you think about this? I tried this. And they're just looking for that affirmation and the reassuring nature that they're doing the right thing, and they that's what they really live for. What I try to do is quickly identify those, having conversations with people and just getting them to open up to whether they verbally say it or whether I kind of feel it from the tone. I get that sort of an innate sense that I have to figure out what really motivates this person that's in front of me. Then I try to build goals and things with inside the team goals that can help them reach that and help them see we're all going the same direction, but for you what this could mean at the end of this is, and if it is you want to move up in the company, is you want to establish a college fund for your kids, you want to get more recognition and be known across the company, maybe you can move to another market, whatever you want to accomplish, I can help you get there, but you got to help us get to the team goals before that's going to occur for you. And understanding each person's individual trigger is really what that's all about.
Okay, now the steps that you take, is there a common problem that you find with businesses when you first come in that they excuse me, I'm having a little trouble with my voice today. Is there a common problem with businesses when they come to you that you find is kind of an overarching theme that stops businesses from getting ahead?
Well, the biggest challenge that I've seen recently, and this has gone on for the last probably 18 months or so, I guess the broad term for it is change management. And really what it comes down to, Michael, is it's a change in philosophy, it's an acquisition, it's we've got a new product line, it's new management, it's new goals, things that are being either thrust upon the leadership that they're having to push down. And what you'll find a lot is there are some leaders in one type of organization rose to the top, and when there's a sea change in terms of philosophies and in terms of goals and objectives at the top level, some of those people that fit before don't fit, but they're still trying to use the same strategies they did to push down the ideas to the people that are going to have to execute them. So there's that, it's almost like a discord between the new philosophies, which may be very touchy-feely and very, humanistic oriented, as opposed to, just hit the numbers, guys, do what you got to do. And you may have the hard-charging guys that are left, and the new people coming in have a more of a sensibility approach. And they're trying to push those ideas down, and they're getting filtered out. So when I sit with the people that are on teams or actually doing the work, and I'm asking them about, tell me about what you see as the clarity of goal here, they generally don't know because they're seeing two different directions. They're saying they want to do all the right things, but this guy's still treating me like he treated me for the last 2 years. And so it really comes back to that whole philosophy of, is there one common theme from the top down? And often, like I said, it can get derailed by people. It can get derailed by not understanding the team goals, or it can be just obstinance. We've done it, you've seen that phrase that's out there, 7 most dangerous words in any company. Well, that's the way we've always done it. And that's one of those things that happens. I was in Chicago about this time last year, dealing with a company that took two divisions and stuck them in the same building. Each division on its own was doing extremely well. They stuck them together, and there was a culture clash, you know, because they each had their own little domains, you know, their own area to run. Now they're sitting on top of each other. Well, who's the big dog? Who's, you know, who gets the corner office? Who gets the windows? Why am I in a cube? I used to have a, you know, nice area where I could spread out. It became a catastrophe just based on not only the space problem, but who's in charge and what are the real goals and why did they do this to us and is this good, is this bad? Nobody knew. And the people at the molecular level had no idea what was going on, and I had to go back to the top and work my way through, help me get, you know, where you guys want to go and why this thing was important. You've got to communicate it. You've got to make sure that they understand. So long answer to your question is confusion between the top and the actual execution of the new ideas.
Okay, what are the steps you take? How do you get them together to move in the same direction?
That's a great question, and I'm going to give you that gray answer of it really depends. But on, you know, in general, if it's a communication problem and people just don't understand what the real goals are, and more importantly, how it directly affects me, if they don't understand that, what's going to happen is they're going to begin to get in this silo type mentality where they do what we hate to see happen, and happens in every business. Unfortunately, some people get out of the work to succeed mode and get into the work to survive mode. And when that happens, they're getting through 8 to 5 every day. They're just trying to get through the end of the week. They don't want to, you know, pop their head up too high because these changes that are coming might take them out. They just get through, and they're just doing enough work to not be noticed as bad and don't want to be too far off the range because they don't know who's making the decisions above them. What I have to do is go in and really sit and listen and ask a lot of questions and try to use the, you know, 30 plus years of business acumen that I have to feel it. And it's hard to describe it, Michael, because it is a feel. You can walk into a business and feel if the people are happy, if they're working together, if there's great communication, or if you walk into a room and you don't hear anything. You're in a, you know, big room with several office desks and offices around the outside, and it's like a pin is going to drop. You can hear the actual noise of it hitting the floor. There's something wrong, because they're people should enjoy what they do, and it doesn't take long. You may have to get, you know, I guess the number one thing I try to do is try to find the vocal leader of that group and somebody that I can pull off the side that they'll tell me the truth. And they will say, look, this place was great until this happened, or we thought this change was going to help us in this way, and it made it worse, and be able to understand that. And then once I have a good snapshot of what that is, then you've got to work back through the layers, sit with people, try to understand what their motivations are, and get everybody eventually on the same page. That is not an easy process. It can take weeks, it can take months, it could take several different meetings, different types of opportunities to get people together. And it's really about being able to understand it and react to the given type of situation. There's no real cookie-cutter approach to it. They're all different.
I think, Brad, the real transition is when those employees feel that they're part, when I say part of the company, they're responsible for the success of the company. All of a sudden, things start to happen when that occurs, because they feel engaged, they feel it's part of a family, and what they do is important too, what goes on at the end of the month, whether they're going to make a profit or not.
Well, and again, I agree completely. I believe where you're headed there is ownership. And what they really want to do is take ownership for what they do. They want to feel prideful. They want to look around and say, this is my company. One of the things I've tried to do in the book and the way it's really written is the fact that you are CEO of your own success. You, whether you're running the company, whether you're somewhere in the, you know, in the middle management strata, whether you're a commissioned salesperson, whether you're in a company now but you want to run your own business, at any point in time, regardless of where you are, if you just got a desk and a marketing job within a specific company and you're just trying to do the best you can, take ownership for your success. You're the one that determines it. Now, other people may be critiquing it and maybe evaluating it, but at the end of the day, you got to walk home, you drive to your house and look in the mirror to one guy, and that's you. And what I try to do is give you the strategies, give you the opportunities to understand that you are in charge of that and that you probably do have the traits of these great 11 CEOs that I kind of opened the book with, and basically talk about the fact that you're built like that. If you pick this book up or you look at this title and decide that it's something that you're interested in, you more than likely have the traits of a CEO. The question is, do you know how to use them? Can you excavate those things that are within you? Are you afraid of them? Or do you just need that next level push to say, I can do this, and here are the ways I can create my own mission and vision statements, and I can really begin to take ownership for my success? That's what it comes down to, and that's what I do on a smaller level with folks that, they've been there 22 years and they can retire at 25. I want them to have three outstanding productive years before they get to 25. I want them to feel like those are the best 3 years of the 25 that they spend in the company. They don't have any aspirations to move up, move out, move anything. They just want to get through it. I still want them to be able to feel like they've worked at the most productive level that they possibly could. And it goes back to, again, taking ownership for what you do. If you can get even 70% of the people on a staff to feel like they own the company, the productivity is going to go through the roof.
I think what you'll find if you go to Facebook and if you go to the different the different internet places, that people are starting to do that. They're starting to experience that they're in charge of their lives, and because of that, it's affecting the businesses in the right way.
I hope so. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where, we've gone through a number of shifts in the way that business is run. There was, it was all very corporate, and you went to a building, and then there was a phase where people started to telecommute, and it was very disparate, and people found that that was, was good for the bottom line, but it wasn't good for communication. And some companies still offer it on like a limited basis, but a lot of them have pulled people back in, or they're using Skype, or they're using GoToMeeting or something so they can literally see people and still interact. I really think now that next level, and especially because you've got more millennials in the workplace, all these millennials have grown up with the fact they can do whatever they want to. They get food through a drive-thru very quickly. They push a button on a microwave at home and they get what they want. They pull out their phone and get an answer to anything at anywhere across the globe in just a few seconds. They want to feel like that they're empowered. And the worst thing you can do if you've got millennials in the workplace is tell them, this is your job, go do it, and don't ask me any questions. They want to be hands-on. They want to understand it. They want to buy in. And the good news is, if you get them to buy in, they're your best advocates. They will be completely proactive within the company. They'll tell other people what a great place it is. They'll tell their friends. They'll put it on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Twitter. They'll talk about what a great environment it is and allow you to go out and hire even better employees because they're on your side. But you have to win them. And you have to take that time to understand how they think. And the fact that, this is even happening within pro sports teams. The St. Louis Rams had a story not too long ago about the fact how they are literally having to teach their skills to 20 to 24-year-olds completely differently than they ever have. This is a sport that's been around since early 1900s, and here are coaches saying, we have to get these players involved. We have to show them why. We have to give them iPads and let them understand and see how the plays flow. We have to show them that these techniques that we're doing are for their good, or that's for the good of this particular position. They brought in outside coaches, outside trainers, actually, to get the coaches to understand how to communicate with them. So there is a complete shift in the way things are being done and the way that communication takes place at every level. And if it's happening in the NFL, you can be sure it's happening at the box company and the trucking company and to anywhere else where there are employees that are, 20 to 30 coming in wanting to make their mark.
Yeah, Brad, we're just about running out of time, so do you have a website we can find you at?
Sure. I'm not that smart, Michael. I do things very simple. Brad Rainey, BradRaney.com. My email is brad@bradrainey.com. And I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. Pretty easy guy to find.
Dynamite. Hey, thank you so much for your time today.
Hey, great to speak with you, and I hope you guys understand that you really are in control of your destiny, but you got to take the first step.
I hear you loud and clear. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Michael.
Seems like dreams, like I always. could be, should be, making me glad.
Says, close it.
Why am I?